Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Friends of Friends, actually. I'm Pete Allison, and special guest this week is the voice of coronavirus itself, Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, ahoy. Yeah, I got COVID, haven't I?
And I think at this point it's very, very important to point out that Dave and I are at different ends of the M1, so yes. It's all fine.
Different ends of Motorway 1.
But Dave, it does appear, has the old COVID.
I've done 4 lateral flow tests, which has left very little room for error.
All positive?
All very positive, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've done a PCR and I'm waiting back on the results from that.
I mean, I've got an inkling which way that one's going.
Well, apparently, and this is some good public health information for you, the lateral flow tests apparently have been showing positive for other viruses as well.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the common cold or, you know, like, flu viruses and all that sort of stuff can trigger positives. It can just get some confused sometimes and be like, oh, you've just got the flu, dickhead.
Right.
But it rolls with it and thinks that's some sort of COVID or something. Anyway, basically, I've been told that there is a chance that my PCR could come back negative, but it's fairly unlikely.
And, dear listener, it did not. A message from the future from my COVID bed.
And again, this feels perhaps even more important. Please don't get your coronavirus advice from Friends with Friends.
Oh, absolutely not. No. That is a very, very solid bit of medical advice. But it is worth knowing. Don't just always get a PCR, is what I mean. Because that will confirm either way.
No, I think that's fair.
And that has come from medical professionals, but I won't name them just in case they want to distance themselves from their medical advice. It's come from Dr. Richard Burke.
I feel like we've done this podcast throughout a pandemic. It was only a matter of time before one of us got it, and it's not me.
Yeah, we've amazingly managed
to. I'm definitely going to have COVID by the time we do the next episode. Now I've said that.
Well, I don't know if this sort of chimes with you, but I know so many people that have either got it or been pinged to self isolate in the last. And
I know more
weeks.
People who've been pinged. My dad has. Loads of people. It's all gone a little bit mad again here, but. Hey, if you're affected, then hopefully you're doing all right like Dave is, because he's still here chatting to me, so...
Yeah, well, it's just given me a lot of time to... I've spent the most time sort of concentrating on the episode of Friends this week as a result, because I've had nothing to do for the last 3 days, because I've just been at home on my own. So I watched the episode twice, did a lot of heavy background research on it. Like, maybe what this podcast needs is for me to be bedbound.
Hmm. Put more effort in, Dave.
I'll try. I'm trying my best.
Hey, Dave, which episode are we doing this week?
Shall I read you the request?
Yes.
It's from Ash.
Hi, Ash.
There it is. Hi from Oz. I presume that means Australia and it's not just an autocorrect of Ash. Hi from Oz. I absolutely love the podcast and have done since discovering it about 2 years ago. The only issue is I laugh so much while listening to it, I've had to take it out of my dog walking rotation to avoid strange looks. That's so nice.
Oh.
That's lovely. Genuinely hadn't read that paragraph before. I read it out and it makes us look even more self-congratulatory than normal. But
you're allowed a humble brag when you're riddled with COVID.
It is nice to know that there's some sort of joy is being spread as well as COVID-19.
Yeah.
I'm going to be greedy and request 2 episodes.
Oh my God.
Luckily, this fell in the period of time, in an era, if you will, that this is commonplace.
Yeah, don't anyone get ideas above their station.
Well, do you know what? What I would say, and this has proven the correct way of doing these things recently, is if you are choosing a two-parter, we should really allow people to have both, right?
Yes, I think so.
Because remember when we did just the first half of the London one with the Mac Twins?
Yeah.
And it was really underwhelming because none of the payoffs were there. So I think it's important that actually if you are going to choose a two-parter, we will allow you to have both parts as your request from now on. And that's the new rule because half episodes are for twats.
Yeah, okay, fine. Are you calling the Mac Twins twats?
No. Really seemed like I was, didn't it? No, absolutely not. I was just paraphrasing our quiz catchphrase.
Okay, fine.
I love the Mac Twins. Although two of them chose half an episode, so a quarter of an episode each.
If anyone should be allowed to choose two episodes, yeah. It's identical twins.
Anyway, so Asha said, I'm going to be greedy, request two episodes, season 6, episodes 15 and 16, the one that could have been, parts 1 and 2. Despite the very problematic body-shaming aspects, I think it's quite a fun little diversion from the season 6 arc, which, as you've mentioned many times, is far from the most compelling of the 10 seasons. And his absolute favourite Phoebe episode, Lisa Kudrow steals the show in this IMO, in my opinion. Smiley emoji. Cheers, Ash. Very comprehensive request, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we all know what this episode is all about, don't we?
I think we do, but shall I read the synopsis just in case?
Yeah, go for it.
Just so admin-wise, we're going to do, as we did the last couple of episodes, this in two halves, aren't we?
Yes.
So this week will be the one that could have been part one.
Although I think these ones are a little more clearly sort of split up if you're streaming it or whatever.
Yes,
so it's
they
a bit
are.
Easier to keep an eye on.
Yeah, on Netflix, there's two parts. There's two separate episodes, aren't there? The first of which, 225565, that's the production code, directed by our old pal Michael Lembeck.
Oh, he's back.
Lembeck. The gang ponders what might have been if Ross and Carol had stayed married. Monica never lost weight. Chandler pursued being a writer. Joey still worked on Days of Our Lives. Rachel had married Barry. And Phoebe had become a stockbroker. So when you read it just like that, the Phoebe storyline is nuts, isn't it?
And the Chandler one also appears to come completely from nowhere.
Well, we'll get onto the Chandler one in a minute because there's some real issues with that. The story then takes place in an alternate reality. God, this episode reads like an absolute fever dream, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Struggling Chandler becomes Joey's assistant with mixed results. Monica plans to lose her virginity to her boyfriend Roger. And this is part two now. This is it. Ross attempts to spice up his marriage with Carol by suggesting a threesome. Rachel falls for Joey after seeing him in Central Perk. And Phoebe lands in hospital with a stress-induced heart attack.
Cheerful.
So that's the part one synopsis.
You know when you said that this is a bit like a fever dream?
Yeah.
What if this episode didn't actually exist? I'm not actually talking to you right now, and this is your coronavirus fever dream.
I'll tell you what, if that is what's happened, then it's a long game from the old COVID-19, because the first time I've ever watched this episode will have been about 15 years ago.
Or was it?
Yeah, have I just got completely false memories?
Inception.
Oh my goodness, yeah, maybe I'm just reprogramming the whole thing. It does seem mad, doesn't it? Like, as a concept. So now, I said on the podcast last week, didn't I, that there was a reason they did this episode, but I couldn't remember what it was, but I have looked it up.
Okay.
And it appears to be that, so the two previous episodes were Jill, Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
And that storyline was supposed to last longer. It was supposed to last 4 to 6 episodes, but it was only 2 in the end. And now, for whatever reason, there's loads of rumours and shindigs about why she didn't do it in the end. There was a lot of rumours that her and Jennifer Aniston logged heads and didn't get on, but I don't think that can be true because
she seemed happy enough in the reunion.
Yeah, Witherspoon did the reunion and talked about loving it, and B, they seem to be very close in IRL, you know? So that could be Hollywood tittle-tattle. It's most likely that just her schedule interfered because she's a hugely successful movie star, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so it turns out that they had to write this episode at quite short notice, it seems, to fill in that gap when Reese Witherspoon had to bugger off.
Well, I feel like, yes, it is a very contrived premise, but they've kind of earned the right to do something different 6 seasons in.
Yeah.
Like, why not have a play around? Yeah, let's do something different. Fine.
I think it's absolutely fine in the context that we know it's the only time they did this. But yeah. I reckon if you were watching it for the first time live, and I will have done this because I was well into watching Friends week by week by now. There must have been a part of you that goes, oh God, is this the start of them just going nuts? Do you know what I mean? Oh, episode 17's in space, and then episode 19, you know, like, have they just run out of ideas completely? But luckily, they sort of steady the car, don't they, and straighten it onto just back to normal pretty quickly after.
Yeah, I think so.
So the episode starts, I think we're going to have to just work through this chronologically, do you? Like, it all sort of ties in with everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, and different characters appearing, different other little storylines, so yeah, I think we just go through it as in order.
It is quite a neatly written episode, isn't it? It all does slot together really nicely, and there's a lot of nice little details contained within it. But we start before we go, I was going to say back in time, it's not back in time, isn't it? Sideways in time?
I think so.
Alternate reality? Sideways in time? Sure. But we start in regular reality, and the sort of vague... Now, it's quite clunky, isn't it, the start? Like, it's one of the clunkiest cold opens in the whole of Friends, because it's basically the bit in the modern day that has to set up this weird premise.
It's just one after another, all of them going, what if I think that they're about to do?
Yes, I wonder what my life would have been like if I hadn't got these new pair of shoes. It was that very sort of GCSE drama vibes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the trigger for it is that Barry and Mindy are getting divorced. And that leads Rachel to be sort of like, oh, what if I had married Barry? Oh, what a curious, quirky situation that would have been. I did enjoy in this bit, Joey, A, immediately goes to Ross. What is the matter with you? I hear divorce, I go to Ross. But then after we got over that line, he just goes, who's Barry and Mindy? And I just love that Joey doesn't really pay much attention to his
best friend's life. Almost husband.
Yeah, exactly. The whole first year of your friendship with Rachel was her talking about, you know, should she have married that guy Barry? You should at least remember who they are.
Yeah.
During that bit where they're all going round, aren't they, going, oh, I wonder what my life would have been like if I hadn't done this thing. Chandler's one's a bit sad. Because he basically goes, I wonder what I'd have been like if I'd have done anything that would have made me happy ever.
If I hadn't given up on anything that I thought might make me happy.
Right. And he has that sort of line about, my job's cool, I don't have to wear a tie tomorrow. And it's like, oh my God, there's something horribly bleak about this. Because actually, for the rest of them, just doing a quick scan through, yeah, the rest of them, it's a good job they didn't do the thing, right? So
yeah.
It's a good job Rachel didn't marry Barry. It's a good job Ross didn't stay with Carol. Like, all the things in real life that happened worked out for the better. And I know Chandler eventually gets a job he likes in reality, but he's the only one where he's basically gone, God, fucking hell, reality. My reality is bleak.
And his good job is still a couple of seasons away.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's lived for, you know, 15 years of his adult life, like, by that time, nearly, without being happy.
God. Do you know what's not explained, though, is how, once we go into this alternate reality, Rachel loses her fashion sense? Yeah. Because she's in the cow print coat, and there's no explanation for why that's any different.
No, because her fashion sense would have been sort of inherently natural to her, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's why she gets into fashion, because it's the thing she sort of understands and has always got, because she was a cool kid at school. Why is she suddenly... Yeah, they've obviously tried to make everyone look a bit different and dress them a bit differently, but she does feel like she's just fallen completely by the wayside.
And her sort of appearance is completely different as well.
Yes.
Her hair's very different. She looks a bit sort of... there's no way of saying this in a nice way, a bit tackier.
Yes, well, yes, exactly. There's no way, nice way of saying it, Pete, so why not be a bit...
I think it's fair to say that cow print is tacky.
Hey, you said it. If there's any comeback on this podcast, let the record show, Pete thinks cow print's tacky.
No one owns cow print.
Dave has not said anything about cow print. If you're listening, wearing a cow print jacket.
Jacket?
You're welcome. Please send us a picture of you in a cow print jacket if you are wearing one. Just before we actually get back to the alternate reality, then, there's two little more things. One, Phoebe's reason why she didn't take the stockbroker job is one of the maddest things they've ever written for Phoebe, isn't it?
I can't remember what she says.
She says, I didn't take it because I thought at that time in my life, everything that rhymed was true. Like, yeah, even for Phoebe, that is absolutely batshit, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So she thinks because she works with stocks, she'd have to live in a box.
Yeah. And something with socks?
Locks and socks. Locks, and yeah, locks and... What?
Yeah, just, mad.
That was part, and you could tell there was more to that little speech because there was obviously quite a clear edit because then Ross goes, hey, do you know, what do you think might have happened? You know, sets it up. And then the weirdest thing about the whole cold open is, and I don't think this happens anywhere else in all of Friends, there's no laugh leading into the theme tune.
Yes, you're right.
So the theme tune is usually like, funny, funny, joke, joke, ha, 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 big laugh into the theme. And that's like such a rhythm we're used to. In this one, Ross just goes, do you think if all those things happened, we'd still hang out? There's a really weird pause, like nobody's learned how to edit. And then it just goes, doon-in-in-in-in. And it's almost creepy.
If you're watching it for the first time, you'd be like, oh my God, what the hell is happening?
Exactly. Fever dream, fever dream, fever dream. Big alarm bells going off everywhere. Have I got a false memory of this? Or... I thought they'd redone the opening titles.
Yes, and actually, when I searched for a photo from this episode for Instagram, there was a photo of Monica in the bodysuit.
In the fountain.
In the fountain.
Yes.
That did happen at some point.
I'm sure. Maybe it's just the... maybe it's the second episode they do that in, but it seems weird, like it wouldn't be, because I thought that was the whole point in my head, that they'd do the alternate reality... opening, because then you'd at least be expecting that to happen. With the normal credits, it just seems absolutely nuts when Cowprint Rachel and Ross bump into each other on the street. You must just be like, what the fuck's going on here?
At which point, by the way, Ross is buying porn, which I swear there are a lot of references throughout Friends to Ross buying porn, both magazine and video form.
Not only that, but it's specifically a copy of Busty Ladies, which I'm pretty sure Joey has bought or tried to buy at some other point as well. Someone, I'm sure, will point out the specific episode, but that specific title really just rang a bell from a Friends point of view, not because I buy copies of Busty Ladies.
Well... you are home a lot over the next week or so.
It's just such a funny title for a porn magazine, isn't it?
Yeah.
A busty lady. Ladies. Busty
it's
ladies.
Quite polite, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like the pornography for a well-to-do society.
Yeah.
The busty lady.
Yeah.
So Ross and Rachel meet, don't they? She doesn't know who he is really originally, and then she remembers, and that's that sort of slightly awkward setup of the whole thing. And then they go to Central Perk. Ross takes Rachel to Central Perk to meet Monica. Now we cut to Central Perk, and it's Monica with Roger, who will, I think, we don't really see much of in this first half, do we? But
no.
Comes into it a bit more in the second half, and Joey hanging out. Now, this is a point that Ash has raised, the body shaming. Can we talk about, and I'm going to do this in inverted commas, but you can't see, fat in inverted commas, Monica.
Yeah.
Because in the opening credits, not only do they reference Monica, they sort of, there's a reference to, oh, Chandler wouldn't be with Monica. And he says, do you think I'm that shallow? And Ross says, no, I just think Monica was that fat.
Yeah.
She's not fat.
And the other thing is, I think aside from her physical appearance, it's a really caricature-y portrayal of a bigger person. There's a bit in a moment where Phoebe reacts to bad news and Monica says, oh, you didn't just sit on my Kit Kats, did you?
Right.
And like, that's kind of lazy. Like, that's just a really sort of lazy joke about, oh, Monica must have a supply of confectionery in her bedroom.
Right.
And I'm jumping forward again a little bit here, but we're talking about it here. The post-credits bit where it's literally just Monica dancing, eating donuts, and it just feels a little bit like... It feels really lazy.
It's very lazy. It's very bizarre. Yeah, pretty much every time we see Monica in this, she's like... eating a chocolate bar, or she's got chocolate in her hands, you know? Or there's a bit where Chandler gets his job later and she pulls out a Kit Kat to give it to him. And like, it's obviously it's an awful portrayal anyway, and that line about, oh, I just think Monica was that fat, is a dreadful line. But she's not even, I was writing my notes, I was like, she's not even that fat. She's not even fat. She's just a bit bigger than like regular, quite ridiculously thin Monica, you know?
She's also sort of seen as being a bit sort of sad, and she's with this man who's is quite boring.
Yeah.
And it's as if this alternate reality Monica, where she's a bit bigger, she's also a bit sort of sadder and a bit of more nerdy and hasn't really matured as much. And it's just all a bit...
Yes, it's not very good optics, is it, to be like, well, good job she wasn't slightly heavier than a Hollywood thin archetype, you know, because otherwise how could she possibly be happy? But yeah. There'll be people, like I was sitting there watching that going, I'm definitely fatter than Monica in this. Like, it's not like they've even made her up to be, like, caricaturely fat. Do you know what I mean? Like obviously horrendously obese, like, which would not still be a good way of doing it or a good storyline, but at least it would have lined up with the sort of jokes they were making, you know?
On the subject of Kit Kats, though.
Oh, yeah.
Are American Kit Kats the same as ours? Because in America, like, their Milky Ways are very different to our Milky Ways.
Are they?
Are Kit Kats the same?
Well, what I would say on that point is that when she did get out a Kit Kat bar, I was like, well, that doesn't look like a Kit Kat bar. They look similar, if I'm honest, Pete.
Okay.
Hasn't thrown up as much contentious content as I'd hoped.
Because don't Milky Ways have... I think Milky Ways have caramel in.
What?
Hang on. American Milky... Way. Am I chatting absolute bollocks?
Yeah, no, you're right. They've got caramel.
Yes, made of nougat, topped with caramel and covered with milk, whereas ours are marshmallow topped with milk chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Not covered with milk. covered with milk chocolate.
No.
Covered with milk would be hard to put in the wrapper.
Just a glass of milk on top.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Different Milky Ways.
Maybe that's the... For our next live show, we can compare and contrast American and British Milky Ways and do a taste test.
Yeah, okay, fine. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, I don't know why people would pay to come and see that, but hey, let's test the boundaries, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so we'll delve into the proper alternate reality now that we've done the sort of moniker. Ashley, should we have a little musical sting?
Yeah, I'll go and get a Kit Kat.
All right, have a break.
Oh, that was good. That was well done. For someone whose brain is devoured by COVID, very good. Really good.
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
And the other Mr. P.
And we are the hosts of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day. And of course, we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips, and get ready for the lesson.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Roger's chat about nuts and seeds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is boring, and that's what he is supposed to be portrayed as. But I'll be honest, it did lead me down a dark, not dark, boring, that's the word, boring Google path about nuts and seeds.
Cool.
What's
your best nut fact, Dave?
Well, it's going to shake you to the core, mate.
Right.
Because what's Roger saying? Oh, the hazelnut isn't a nut, and neither is the Brazil nut. They're both seeds.
Is he wrong?
According to woodlandtrust.org...
I trust those guys.
The botanical definition of any nut is that it's a seed contained in a hard shell.
He's talking bollocks.
All nuts are seeds, mate. All bloody nuts are seeds.
Well, he was putting Monica down. He was making him feel stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Roger. At least if you're going to be boring, at least be accurate. That's really all we see of Roger, though, in this first bit. It just sets up how boring he is. And we know when we get to the second half, it's all about the sort of Roger v. Chandler dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Chandler comes in, he's skint. We've got the sort of role reversal between Joey and Chandler now, haven't we? Which is an interesting reality switch in terms of the one that's clearly propping up the other financially.
Yeah, Joey just seems to have a bit more sort of charisma, doesn't he? He's a bit less sort of dumb and a bit... Well, no, he's still a bit dumb, but he's a bit more sort of confident and
yeah, he's
looks
a bit more
a bit
together,
well,
isn't
better
he?
Dressed and yeah.
Yeah, although his fashion sense is a bit odd as well in this, isn't it? Even though he's supposedly a very well-paid television actor, he doesn't seem to dress like one.
No, true.
But it transpires that Joey needed an assistant, or he never had an assistant, but just when Monica suggested it, he was like, oh, I could have an assistant, as a way to give Chandler money, basically, rather than lending him the money. So Joey hires Chandler, his assistant, and then meanwhile, we've got Phoebe, who walks in, smoking indoors, klaxon.
Yes, very of its time.
This is the thing that Ash flagged up in her request, that she thinks Phoebe stole the show. Lisa Kudrow stole the show in this episode. I think what's interesting about it is it's such a different character to regular Phoebe, but it's just as plausible, and that's well impressive, isn't it?
It feels like Lisa Kudrow is having a lot of fun playing Phoebe Buffay, the business bitch. It's great.
What kind of name is Brindy? Is one of the funniest lines in the whole thing.
From renaming her Joan is
your
great.
Your name is Joan, yeah. It's so good. That's her real hair as well, by the way.
How was it?
Fun fact, Lisa Kudrow's hair was that short all the way through season 6, but they made her wear a wig normally because they thought Phoebe would have longer hair.
Okay.
So another reason why you know, maybe they wrote that into it so they could make use of Lisa Kudrow's regular hair. Here's my question about Phoebe in this, though. She's full business bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is she never in the office?
Yes, it's a good point.
Why is she never at work? Why is she trying to control the stock market from a coffee shop in a friend's apartment in the middle of the day?
Maybe it wouldn't go so disastrously wrong if she actually was in her office. But that's one thing that's true of both realities, between the actual friend's reality and this different one, is that they don't actually go to work when they should be there.
Yeah. It does seem more strange in this, though, because at least in the sort of normal one, there's usually ways of going, oh, well, Monica's a chef, so she probably works evenings, blah, 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 and, you know, Joey's an actor. But in this, it's like, this is definitely a job where famously you work long hours at an office, at a place, you know?
Yeah.
And she's just basically using a mobile phone and making calls every now and then. No wonder she loves her job. She doesn't have to fucking do anything.
Good to see of its time technology being used for.
Yeah. So they'll use a cell phone when it's needed, won't they?
Yeah.
Also, on the subject of smoking indoors, surely Monica would never let Phoebe smoke in her apartment.
Yeah, fair point.
Never. That's just one of those. That's they got that wrong, haven't they? Anyway, she loses, what, $5 million? No, $13 million, isn't it?
Yes. Which, in the grand scheme, I mean, obviously a crazy amount of money.
Well, yeah, I'd love $13 million. But yeah, when she said that, I thought, I bet that happens all the time.
It's okay. That'll be back tomorrow.
The old stock market, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That seems to be a big deal. And she does end up getting fired for it later on, as we find out. But before that, only has a bloody heart attack, doesn't she?
Yeah. And I sort of like how casually she gets the heart attack and how unconcerned she is by it.
Yes. It's a very different type of Phoebe, isn't it? But she's just just taking it all in her stride, sits down, basically talks through the symptoms and goes, yes, I'm having a heart attack. And it's so well done. I really like Phoebe in this mode. It's great.
You surely even in the world, the cutthroat world of the New York Stock Exchange,
yeah,
you probably wouldn't get fired while you're in a hospital bed recovering from a heart attack. Well, right?
You wouldn't get fired by your boss telling a man he's never met that doesn't even necessarily know that knows you.
Yeah, doesn't even directly tell you.
Like, that phone call was so quick. Ross goes, uh-huh, she can't come to the phone right now. Uh-huh, okay. So we're led to believe that the phone call went, hi, is Phoebe there? No, she can't come to the phone right now. Okay, she's fired. Uh-huh, okay, bye. That's it. Yeah. Doesn't even, like, try and sugarcoat it to... Doesn't say, who are you? Or why are you answering the phone? Just fires her by proxy, which becomes a problem in the next episode, and that's the setup, isn't it, when she doesn't realise she's been fired. But yeah, it does feel extra cutthroat, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, they're in the hospital, Phoebe's recovering, and like, we get one of these very strange just little chats between Phoebe and Ross, which don't happen that often. But in the alternate reality, apparently they're more just chatty about their...
Friendly, yeah.
Yeah, friendly and chatting about their sex lives and having a nice time.
I'd never seen Phoebe describing all those roleplay ideas before. I feel like that bit must have been cut at some point.
Really?
Listing those off, yeah.
It is quite a sort of list of kinks, isn't it? Very quickly, yeah. Like on sort of mainstream television. She does list a lot of ways of spicing things up. This is because Ross is having a dry spell with Carol, obviously because they've stayed married and Carol hasn't come out to Ross yet, which eventually will happen. But yeah, Phoebe basically goes, why don't you tie to the rope, eat stuff off, blah, 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 suggests loads of stuff. And the last one is that they could role play as two stockbrokers on the stock floor with loads of people watching while they have sex. And is the implication there that Phoebe has done that?
Yes, because what did she say? She said something like...
She was like, oh, never happened, but...
Yeah.
It's just, when you really think about what she's intimating there, it's kind of mad, isn't it? She's admitting, effectively, to having sex with another stockbroker in the middle of her office floor...
With people watching.
On the middle of the trading floor, with loads of people watching. Like, God, I mean, we know Phoebe's... You know, filthy, don't we? But
maybe now we understand why they're so happy to get rid of Phoebe so quickly and sack her. It's because, you know, she was shagging on the office floor and now it's lost someone $13 million.
Well, yeah, well, I was going to say, though, if they've kept her after the shagging on the floor incident, then losing a bit of $13 million doesn't seem like, you know, it feels like they really would have wanted to keep her otherwise.
True.
Well, there you go. So Phoebe gives Ross all these suggestions, which he then takes back to Carol. And the scene with Ross and Carol is so hot. Like, Carol's so uninterested in Ross, isn't she?
And sexually frustrated Ross doesn't feel so far away from actual Ross.
No, absolutely not.
Because that's kind of just what he's like anyway.
He's very, repressed, isn't he? And he's not very open and he's very closed down normally. But in this, he's kind of happy to open up and say to Carol, hey, our sex life isn't great, should we spice things up? Like, those aren't easy conversations for people to have, but this version of Ross, despite the having this bleak existence where he's married to someone that hasn't come out yet, he seems more relaxed and like he's really just trying to make this nice thing work, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
She literally rolls her eyes and goes, this is disgusting, when he's talking about like tying each other up or eating stuff off each other.
She doesn't even sort of try to sugarcoat her lack of interest in him sexually. It's just, she's quite mean to him.
Yeah, I feel very sorry for him in this situation because she's basically like, oh no, this is awful. What? And then, apart from obviously when he suggests the threesome and she jumps immediately at that chance, which we later, we'll get into part two. We don't see the threesome in this episode, do we?
Don't see the threesome, no.
You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, yes.
Again, it's a very strange...
They're heavy petting. It's heavy... not an actual explicit scene.
No, you're quite right. But again, just the theme of the threesome in a mainstream sitcom is, yeah, fair play.
Yeah, true. It's pretty out there.
It's pretty out there. Fun fact about that scene as well, that is Cole Sprouse's first appearance as Ben.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, in the alternate reality. What a weird way to come in.
Do you reckon at some point Ben got stuck in the alternate reality and never came back?
That's why we never see him after season 7.
Yeah.
He's just got stuck in the...
in another universe.
Yeah, that's...
It's all got a bit Doctor Who.
Oh, mate, write that up into a little BuzzFeed article and we'll post that. I bet they'll lap that shit up.
He's Rose Tyler. He's stuck in another reality. Billy Piper reference for the first time on Friends with Friends.
Yeah, that is, isn't it?
Not a moment too soon.
Not a moment too soon. 3.5 years in. How long have we been doing this podcast? 3.5 years? 4 years?
Some years.
We'll find out. Yes, okay. So Ben is like Billy Piper in Doctor Who. And he's trapped. There you go. That explains everything.
There you go. I've cracked it, guys.
Right, so the Joey and Rachel sort of bits and bobs is kicking off meanwhile now, isn't it? Joey's giving Rachel a tour of Days of Our Lives.
And Rachel being starstruck by Joey is a really nice touch when she first sees him in Central Perk.
Yeah, in the same way that Lisa Kudrow plays an alternate version of Phoebe so well, I think Jennifer Aniston is so... Like, it's not just the cow print coat going, this is a different version of Rachel, but the way she... sort of plays that fangirly, just like, oh, I stay at home and watch soap operas all day and I'm really into them. It's so plausible, isn't it? It's so believable that she would fan over him and she'd know his real name and she'd watch his show every day and know all the lines and all that sort of stuff. And it's so... That scene in Central Perk where they meet is really well done. The backstage of Days of Our Lives, though, is just the backstage of the Friends set.
Is it?
Yeah, and you can tell because go and watch this back, but right at the start of that scene when Joey's leading her down the corridor, you can see the backdrop of like what is outside the window of Monica's apartment. The apartment's...
Love that. Great. Across,
so you can see like the edge of that backdrop. It's so funny. They haven't even tried to hide that. And also did you notice the way they try and convert the Friends backstage into a Days of Our Lives backstage by putting up a hospital sign?
Nice.
So there's a hospital sign on the wall. Why would there be a hospital sign backstage?
Yeah, it would be very much on camera.
Yeah, very strange. But, you know, they've got to make it look like the soap opera backstage.
There's a really nice On a Break reference as well, which I feel like there's a bit of an audience reaction to the fact that alternate reality Rachel has had the audacity to agree that being on a break is a good thing.
Yes. No, absolutely. There's quite a few little snippets of things they seed in from different other episodes of the reality of Friends, isn't there? But the, yeah, I wish we were on a break thing is the most poignant one of them. Chandler comes in and he's brought Joey the orange juice with the pulp. And like Joey's being an absolute dickhead here, isn't he?
Yes, he is a massive dick to Chandler.
They're getting a little spat over it. And then it does, however, produce a line from Friends that I think I use at least once a week, which is Joey's, "You have got to listen."
Yeah.
Which is a very useful go-to Friends quote for everyday life.
And what you should say to your friends about Friends with Friends.
Yes, good. That's what you should post on the Instagram this week about this episode, Pete.
Yeah.
Hopefully, maybe we'll have some new listeners this week because the day before we recorded this, the good people at Spotify put a little post up about our podcast, didn't they? That was nice.
Yes, how ludicrous.
How, along with Office Ladies and Taskmaster and all the big guns.
Yeah, proper ones.
Yeah, proper podcasts. That was nuts, wasn't it? Fair play. Thanks, guys.
And they're going to... People are going to come and discover this episode and it's just us talking about you having COVID.
Look, it's topical. It's you know, it's keeping everyone up to date. Yeah. I mean, they're all very much like this. If they don't like this episode, they're not going to like the rest of them, are they?
That's fair.
At least I haven't gone, oh yeah, this week yet.
Well, exactly.
So Chandler and Joey get into this little spat. Rachel is sort of... I mean, Joey hits on Rachel, doesn't he, backstage, and she sort of goes, no, I'm married, all the best. Joey in seduction mode here is quite dreadful, isn't it? Joey is the famous man, just using lines from his own soap opera.
Well, he already knows that she's a massive fan of it.
Right.
So he's a little careless to start quoting his own character.
And then Rachel talks to... I mean, why is Rachel just suddenly hanging out at Central Perk, by the way?
Yeah, she's suddenly just become a best friend of Monica regardless.
Yeah, she just sort of drifted into the old lifestyle. Like, she'd never been there before, and suddenly now she's just on the couch with Monica talking about her love life. And then, like you say, there's the reference to, oh, I wish me and Barry were just on a break. Because she wants to bang Joey, doesn't she? And then we discover in the same scene that Monica is a virgin because she's so fat, am I right?
The whole give him my flower, that is a horrible, horrible term for losing your virginity.
Oh, God, yeah, no, it's just horrible, isn't it?
It's grim. I don't like dwelling on it too much.
Okay, well, let us not dwell on it. And then this sort of storyline comes to a conclusion when Rachel is watching Joey on Days of Our Lives and he has a romantic scene with a woman in the bed and then she suddenly realises she wants to try and have sex with Joey, doesn't she?
Yeah, and he requests sandwiches.
Yeah, that's very Joey. That's good. It's nice to see the different elements of his personality have stayed the same in the two realities. And that, for Joey, is sandwiches. Another fun fact for you, the scene that Joey does, because quite an extended scene, isn't it? The Days of Our Lives scene and that.
Yeah, we see quite a bit of it.
Yeah, there's a doctor who gets arrested for not being a real doctor, and then a patient called Hope. And both of those are real characters from Days of Our Lives.
Are they? Oh, well, that just went over my head, obviously.
Yeah, well, me too, completely. But I was like, there must be a reason there's so much of this scene on it. So it's obviously a little bit of an Easter egg for people that watch real Days of Our Lives, which I can't imagine is a huge crossover with a Friends audience. But hey, might be wrong. Well, the only other thing we haven't picked up on so far is Chandler selling his story finally to Archie Comics, which it turns out is just the story of Joey hiring him to be his assistant and being a dick to him.
Much like it did with the two parts of Barbados, the kind of emphasis moves quite dramatically onto Monica and Chandler in this next one compared to when it moved onto a different storyline in the Barbados one, didn't it?
Yeah, it's all going to shift in part two, isn't it? And Joey thinks he, you know, might have heard that story before, at which point Chandler's obviously nervous that he's going to clock it. But then Joey just goes, that sounds familiar. Did they already do that one? And Chandler laughs like he's relieved. But I'd just be like, are you just saying that I've completely just copied someone else's story?
Yeah.
That's the first one I've ever sold to Archie Comics. It seems like Chandler's only trying to sell stories to one comic book as well.
Yeah, he might want to sort of start spreading his targets a bit wider.
Yeah, as a freelance writer, mate, don't just try and get a story in Archie Comics. Like, I mean, it's worked out in the end. But you're right. Spread your wings, my friend. Spread your wings. That's it for part one.
And what we're going to do is save the quiz that Amy very kindly sends us for the second part. Because,
yes,
let's be honest, it was a little bit of a shambles the last 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So we'll do the full quiz at the end of part two. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Dave, you may be free of COVID by the time we next speak.
Touch wood, Peter. It's my wooden desk.
You need to wipe that now.
See you next week, Pete.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.